Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome back to The Songwriter Show right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos, a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words just are so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every single Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. Tonight, I'm so excited to have an incredible artist and producer, Sam J. Garfield, on the show. He's a bi-coastal music producer and sound engineer, carefully curating his exclusive collective of artists, developing an eccentric sound unique to each client, and ever-evolving but always laced with that unpredictable synthy streamline that has become his legacy. With the experimental abilities he has in indie folk fusion of Surgeon Stevens, the eccentric out-of-the-box production of his City Girl, and the unpredictable spontaneity of Grimes beat patterns, Sam J. Garfield is leaving an epic sonic footprint. Now it's his turn. Releasing his first single since 2020, Sam J. Garfield is gearing up for his monumental release of Monsters, out August 23rd, 2023.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Sam. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on here. I'm excited to chat with you.
Me too, man. So tell us a little bit about your legacy here. Sounds like you got started more on the techie engineering side. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. It was a very interesting beginning for me, really. I came from a background out here in LA. I had already been out here for a little over 10 years, and I was acting and modeling at the time, doing that full time. And after my dad actually passed away, he worked in music as a composer and music director. I ended up inheriting all of his kind of mix boards and software. I started playing with Logic, which he used at that time. And one day I kind of just woke up and really felt like this was my calling. I felt like I didn't want to be out here just playing the role of an actor anymore. I had been doing it for over 15 years. It wasn't fulfilling me the way that I really thought that it, you know, would at that point in my life. And it kind of just spiraled into this this kind of obsession with music production. And I one day just had this moment where I said to myself, you know, if I don't want to act and I don't want to model anymore, what else do I really want to do more than this? And the only answer I had for that was music. My younger sister, Jo, she's an amazing writer and performer and artist as well. She was just kind of beginning her music journey and just graduating from CalArts and beginning her whole music career. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't know what I can do in music quite yet. You know, I had never really dove into the world of being an artist other than growing up playing instruments, you know, just because my dad encouraged us to growing up. And I played piano as a kid for a long time, but I hadn't really thought about that as something that I would actually do. And, I thought to myself, if I can do one thing, I could learn how to help make my sister's music. And if this was something that I wanted to do and a path I wanted to go down, that this could be where it began. And I knew that she had it in her to make amazing music. So I figured if there was something I could do to contribute to that, if I could learn how to make the music from a technical aspect, then I could do that, and I would do that. And it led me into finding Recording Connection out here in Los Angeles. And they set me up with a couple different studios to interview at and people who were involved with their program, which allow apprentices to come in and work under mentors through these studios. And I got connected with ES Audio in Burbank, which is through Donnie Baker is his studio out there. And he's an incredible engineer and mixer. He's had artists from, you know, Michael Bolton, Madonna, a lot of people back in the day he's worked with.
Yeah.
And I really was fortunate to get linked up with him. And because I went into the studio and began that engineering and producing process, I just really snowballed from there. It was really what I found I had always been kind of waiting for and what I was meant to do. And I just took to it like fire and, just became completely immersed in the whole world. And it just became like one artist to the next artist.
That's awesome. And I think you have a huge advantage because until I got into this, I had no idea how much of it is production and layering vocals and all these cool little tricks that you guys do that really make the magic.
Truly, truly, truly. I mean, I didn't even realize, you know, that at all before I really got immersed into the whole studio world and what it is to be a recording engineer. I really didn't understand how many just tiny details of that production process are there. And it was very eye-opening, but I think honestly that's what I fell in love with so much.
Yeah, and it takes a certain skill set, right? I mean, whether it's someone being mathematical or just having that ear and paying attention to that kind of detail that most people gloss over, that's really what it is.
Yeah, actually, I always talk about this. It really is a math and science type of thing. Of course, it's done through an artistic lens that we come through as people in music, but it really comes down to so much math and science, which is also so funny because I was always never the math and science guy growing up. Like I was in English class thriving. I was a theater kid. I was this. I hated math, hated science, and now it's something I use, you know, ironically enough, every single day.
That's cool though, because I kept reading, you know, Max Martin and all these algorithms and all these. When you start analyzing things, you realize how much of it really is math. And the key is, right, tension and release and knowing when to defy that expectation or do something a little different. And I think that's all production, man. I think that's so, so necessary to a great song.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. It definitely is. It's all those tiny nuances, you know, through that engineering and production process that really will bring a song to life. It's the difference between, you know, hearing, you know, just a live recording, which can be incredible for its own reasons, but it's the difference between that and then what you hear when you put on a studio version of an album or something, that you really hear those differences in all that process.
Yeah. So tell us about your stuff. So having all these tricks up your sleeve, you decided to, are you still doing both? Or are you just doing your own thing and you've given up the production completely?
No. I am certainly really still, you know, my main goal out here is really to be a music producer. And that's what most of my time goes into. And, you know, that's my bread and butter and kind of what really has brought my career to life. And I, you know, I really, really love telling people stories through music. And that's something that, you know, it drives me day to day in my career. But this doing things for myself and doing this is something that I've realized more lately. You know, when I first started doing music, I just enjoyed putting out some of my own stuff just because it was fun. I think that it's a really good method of kind of therapy for me. It gets things off my chest. It allows me to release things that I'm feeling through art. But then, you know, as my production and music kind of picked up in my career, I really just became, you know, a workhorse in really pumping out and producing out so many other tracks over the last couple of years and helping develop other artists and their sound. And I felt a little bit like I kind of almost forgot to express myself through my own music in this, which is something that as a performer and growing up as a performer is still very important to me. I think that as producers, it is important for us to release things so that, you know, the world and the, you know, the following that we have and our supporters and fans, and I think they can hear something that's not coming through somebody else's lens. And I think I kind of had this little moment of an epiphany earlier this year where I had been sitting on, you know, I've got about maybe two albums and three EPs worth of my own music demoed, but I've never put it out. And I really realized how important it was for me to allow the people who are listening to my music and following what I'm doing to hear something that's actually unadulterated by, you know, somebody else's kind of vision, or like I said, through their lens, something that comes purely from me musically and artistically as an artist. And I really think that it's important for us to do as people who produce, because how else can people truly hear our sonic signature and our sound, you know, in its purest form unless we show them that?
Yeah, I totally agree. So what do you want us to take from this song when we listen to it here?
This specific song and this video and this whole project really is so much more than even just, you know, like I said, just my sound, me wanting to put my sound out into the world. I mean, this one was really more of a therapeutic type of thing for me. It just kind of so happened that it was a project that I felt strongly about, felt like something I needed to get off of my chest. And, you know, it's really honestly kind of terrifying, to be honest. especially since I haven't released anything in so long, and people are not used to hearing, you know, music that just comes directly from, you know, Sam J. Garfield and not through somebody else. This was something that I wrote, you know, towards the end of last year, and was going through one of the hardest years of my life, and very like learning a whole new kind of strain and what it meant to elevate my career and owning a music venue that I took on, and kind of really putting myself out there in so many ways, but also having some of that really crash down through those hardships and kind of, you know, getting those growing pains in my life and in my career. And this song stemmed from all of that. And I really needed to put this out for me more than anyone else, but it just also kind of so happened that it actually turned into just such a beautiful project. I'm so happy with the song. I don't think I've heard many things like it before. The video came out just beautifully and everything I wanted it to portray, and it felt like it was very authentic to me and the moment that I was having through writing it. And I'm just really proud of it. But it really was a special one for me, and I'm honestly very pleased and feel honored by even the team around me that this is like the first thing that I'm putting out in such a long time, and almost really reintroducing myself to people in a as an artist and not just a producer. And I feel very, very, very thrilled.
Okay. Awesome. So I'll tell you what, everybody, let's check this out. Here we go.
Monsters while they laugh and cry, they wait under my bed. We go talking for hours, still their thoughts suddenly sink into my head. I remember the first time that we met, I thought I was done.
But that definitely is a cool song, man. Thank you for sharing it with us. I think the fans will enjoy that.
Awesome. I'm so glad you like it. I too am very excited to share it with everybody.
Yeah, it makes me, to be honest, excited to hear some more of your stuff. So do you have plans to release more stuff this year, or how are you doing that?
I actually have a 5-song EP dropping towards the end of September on September 20th. So this is just kind of the precursor and the single that's coming out to kind of introduce the EP and kind of get, like, to let people know that, you know, I'm putting stuff out again and kind of put it back on the map. But then I'll be dropping 5 songs, kind of in a very similar tone and vibe to this track, coming out September 20th.
Very cool. So tell us about your favorite app on your phone.
I mean, off the jump, I will say, like, hands down, Shazam. I mean, as a music producer and as
That's
a music
awesome.
Lover,
yeah.
I just always hear things. And I mean, my Shazam is out. I have the little quick, the quick key on my phone so that I can just swipe down and, like, hear the song, because I use it so often to hear things. And I'm always constantly, like, listening in stores or something comes on TV, or, you know, that's probably one of my most used apps on my entire phone.
So I have 2 Shazam stories. One is, I absolutely love getting the email once a month from Apple Music, how many people Shazam my stuff.
Yes.
And then the second is, I don't know why they haven't fixed this. Anytime I'm trying to think, I'm driving, and if I'm listening to music or, you know, whatever, and I'm like, or something comes on the radio, right? I'm like, Shazam this. It's like, I can't Shazam on my iPhone when I'm listening to music. It's the weirdest thing. It, like, won't work because you're already kind of using your phone. And I don't know why they can't get a workaround for that. It's really annoying.
You know what? I totally agree with you on that, because I have had the similar situation of that when, like, you're playing something through, like, you know, through your phone, but then there's nothing you can do, like, in your car to get that. It's that the piece that you need to be able for it to listen.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with you on that one.
Which I don't get it, because I feel like there's got to be, I get that they don't have 2 inputs, but I feel like there's so many smart guys at Apple. They got to figure out that if someone's listening to Spotify or Apple Music and they want to Shazam it, there's got to be a way to do that.
Yes, I completely agree with you. Somebody has got to be able to have the technology to make that happen.
All right, well, I feel like in a couple of years, if we're both giving Grammy speeches, maybe we'll point that out and they'll listen to us.
Yes, that's a deal for sure.
Yeah. So tell us, you know, you're out in California. One of the questions I love asking people is about scams. So tell us so we can protect each other. Is there a scam we should watch out for, or one you've fallen for? Because you've been in the biz a little bit, and I feel like there's so many out there.
There really are. There really are so many. I've been at least fortunate enough where, you know, I haven't really ever had to deal with one personally, because I kind of, like, very much, I mean, I grew up a lot also being scammed as a kid, like in my first modeling agency, you know, in 6th grade,
yeah,
and all that. So, you know, like, I have been pretty privy to a lot of scam type of notions as I got older. And, you know, I've been living in LA since I was 18. So for the last 17 years, I've seen my fair share of plenty of scams. But I do think that a big one, you know, is big management. Especially for, like, musicians and for artists, I have seen so many people I've had to help, like, talk out of a bad situation where they think they're getting this amazing music manager, or they're going to get something like some big push on something, and then they're being asked to, like, pay all this money up front. You know, that's kind of the age old one that many of us have seen. And there are so many of them out there where, you know, you shouldn't have a team that you're paying up front for those, unless it's something for, like, production or for, like, an actual, you know, a tool that you're using in your craft and your art. But, you know, managers and agents and people telling you to pay them, like, those people make money after the fact.
Yeah.
And I constantly deal as a producer who's dealing with a lot of artist development currently. I am constantly having these emails sent to me by my artists and by the people I work with. And, you know, what do you think about this? Or somebody told me that they want to help me with this. And then you kind of, like, see in there that there's all these little red flags that people want money for this or money for that. And these are coming from jobs that don't make money until you make money and get a percentage.
Yeah.
And so that's a big red flag one for me, especially for starting artists, is that if people are asking you to pay them up front for these jobs that are supposed to be making something off of a percentage of what you make, then that's a big, 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 big red flag off the jump. Just big no.
Yeah. I have a question for you, since you're kind of on both sides. What is the newest trend? You know, I know that when you're smaller, people prefer getting a fee for service for production, mixing, whatever they're doing. But then when you get bigger, then, of course, people want points. Do you kind of see like indie people paying flat fees versus bigger stars getting points, or shed a little light on that for some of the fans that don't know what that means, or some of the songwriters that are indie that haven't gotten into that situation?
Absolutely. I mean, it is definitely kind of that same thing that you just said. I think that as the emerging artists are coming up and independent artists, it comes a lot more down to those hourly rates, flat fees, and things like that. That you kind of know that this is more of a development thing. This is something that, you know, the services rendered are something that are paid for up front versus, you know, when you're working with a label or a big management group or something with an artist that's really started to take off, then a lot more points come into the deal. And that's kind of what it is, because there's already a guaranteed kind of notion that this song or the project will do well based off of, you know, the success of that artist already is happening. Yeah. So I think that it is a big thing, like, to really be able to do it. I always tell people, engineers and producers and people that come to me like for advice and are just starting out on that journey as well, that it's never a one size fits all. You know, you're going to limit yourself a lot if it's a one size fits all deal. And I kind of was that way more when I started. You know, I only do songs for this much money and this is my rate and da da da. But, you know, that's not the way that this industry works. This industry is so different by case by case, from artist to artist and where people are at. And so I think that you need to be, if you're going to watch yourself become actually sustainable and be a full-time, you know, producer, engineer, or somebody working in production, that you have to be flexible and look at who it is you're working at, look where the project may go, like what is the project being used for, what's the success that you think that the project will be. Is this an artist that you see a little more as an investment? Do you want to maybe invest a little more into them because you see the potential of what they could be? And I think you have to be open and see each case and each artist individually and not just one flat one size fits all.
Yeah. And like, if you're an indie artist, what do you suggest for them? Because I've heard this over and over. Find the style of music you like, contact those engineers, even like big stars, and say, hey. But on the one hand, they don't want to work with you, or they're like, yeah, it's 10 grand. And you're like, well, I can't. So is there some, what do you suggest for indie artists to do?
I mean, I suggest finding yourself a producer, somebody like who has a mindset in the same way that I do. If you really know that you have that potential, you want to find producers and engineers who are willing to work with what you can give. What it is, I mean, I have very intimate relationships with most of my artists in that way when it comes to business and it comes to that. Like, I've sat down, we've talked, I know where they're at, where their finances are at, who has more backing, who doesn't. And the certain artists that, you know, I really do want to work with, you know, I work with what they can do and something that makes sense that will still, you know, be sustainable for me, but then also will not break their back and break their wallet, because I don't want to see, I want artists to flourish. I want new artists to come up. I want new songs and new sounds to be discovered and coming out. And that's one of my big goals. So, yeah. You know, I do know producers and engineers who are a little more cut and dry, and they're like, nope, this is what I'm doing it for. And the artist can't afford that. But, you know, somebody like me is a little more willing to bend. Plus, you know, there are a lot of really great engineers and studios out here that can get a job well done for artists at a pretty reasonable cost. But I will also say this, and that's that artists and singers and musicians, they don't always realize how expensive it is to make art.
Yeah.
And to do their music. And that's the other thing. Like, I won't sugarcoat that for people. If you want to come out to a place like LA or New York, or you're in a big city, or you're trying to make that music, like, it's going to be expensive. And for you, anybody to come out and think that it's not going to be is, you know, it's not it. I heard one of a mentor of mine a long time ago, who's quite successful, say, you know, this industry is not for the faint of heart. And he really meant that in a more of a talk about financial sort of way, because it really does take a lot. My job as an engineer and producer is also very expensive. You know, even when I was starting out, I didn't realize that. I didn't see that my job, just to do my job, would be so expensive. With the plugins that I have to keep up on, with updating things, with the equipment that I need to keep growing, all of this stuff, it becomes astronomically expensive. And you think, oh, yeah, well, I'm just going to get a computer and I'm going to whip up some songs. Yeah, I mean, you can do that. But if you want to maintain kind of being at an industry standard and keep up to par with the other producers and engineers out there, that's expensive too. And the same goes for singers. Because of that expense, it's expensive to do our job. It can become expensive for artists to create their music as well. So, I mean, there is definitely kind of a give and take, a push and pull on that. But, and I like to try to find the balance so that everybody can do what needs to be done and be happy. But it is, you know, it is like, it's not for the faint of heart. It's expensive.
Yeah, no, I totally get you. Okay, I'll tell you what, Sam, can you give us your website, your socials, where people can buy your stuff, stream it so that our fans can check you out?
Absolutely. My socials are all at Sam J. Garfield, just my name, as well as my landing page and website as well, www.samjgarfield.com.
All right, man. I really, really appreciate you being on. I'd love to have you on again anytime, and I wish you all, obviously, all the best.
Absolutely. We'll have to talk again once the whole EP drops.
Yes, absolutely, man. Let me know.
Awesome. Thanks so much for chatting with me.
You're welcome. So thank you to all the fans out there for spending a little bit of your precious time with the two Sams. We hope your unique story gets heard around the world. Please join us every single Tuesday evening to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. Have a great night, everybody. I love you guys.
Love you too.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.